All right, it's the FXR one-on-one podcast, and we are back here in San Diego before the press day here on Friday. Thanks to FXR Racing, by the way, Pulp MX 30 code to save. Same gear that Phil Nicoletti used to win the Canadian title. And Garrett Marchbanks wears now, and, of course, the Quadwalk guys as well. Use the code Pulp MX 30 when you're checking out to save with FXRRacing.com. All right, Firepower and Max is also on board with us. So we're in the Honda Lounge. I'm talking to one of my dear old friends. Speaking of Canadian champions, he didn't quite get it done, but he got national number six. He's 250 HRC crew chief Shane Drew. What's up, Drewby?
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for doing this.
All good.
Pull it up a little closer to
it's
you.
All good.
Yeah, couldn't quite get the Canadian title, sixth, but
the best I ever actually finished. I never even won a Canadian title, national moto. I got second a couple times.
Second, yeah, 500s.
No, actually, 125.
Oh, okay.
All Austin, right. Manitoba.
Yeah, you got second. Yeah. All right.
But that was in a different century. So.
It was a different time. We can tell the story about how I beat you a few times racing. But
if you want. Still think it was only once, but
no,
whatever.
It was more than that.
Yeah.
Okay. 250 crew chief, Hymus. I feel like a lot of us idiots focused on Kitchen and Anstey and Deegan. Probably for a good reason.
Perfect.
Going in.
Yep.
Chance only won the one race, never got in the box, won one race in the deep mud, right? But changed his program up, came into Anaheim 1, as he reminded us, and this is why maybe we didn't think about it, came in healthy and ready to go for the first time in Supercross. And it showed. He rode great. Take us through Hymus' Anaheim from your end of things as crew chief.
On our side, he did exactly what we hoped he would do, you know? We all know how fast he is, but we just needed him ride to his potential on race day, which he did. You know, starting from Wednesday, we broke the race bike in. Awesome. Friday, super smooth, relaxed. Carried that all the way through Saturday.
Yeah.
And the results showed.
I said this to Lars, I think, somebody, on Friday, one of the first guys to go three on.
Yes, sir.
From under the bridge. Just got everything down right away, and I said, I'm like, hey, he looks, because you know how that goes, the learning curve.
I think he was the first guy to do three, like out of turn one also.
Oh, was he? Yeah.
Yeah.
So just looked good on Friday, and I think you just carry that good through,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. Start the weekend off with a good note, it carries through.
Bike
good
setup.
Good starts.
Yeah, good starts, right? Rode it in deep in the heat there.
Went in good, didn't come out so good.
No. There is something like, and I've said this about other riders before, like, and obviously the Lawrence compound is amazing, and you just look at everything that's going on there. And even Seth Hammaker joins last year and has a career year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there is something to being happy, being around your family, being around friends. That's sort of what Chance wanted to do, and Gary, our buddy at Mesquite, built him a couple of Supercross tracks, and he changed things up, and it's obviously not a stain on the Lawrence program because he'll be back there. But there is something about just being new surroundings, new feelings.
Correct, and there's I don't think there's anything hard feelings or bad things about the Lawrence compound with the Hymuses, right?
Right.
But the plan was to ride West Coast races. Flying back and forth from Florida isn't ideal.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to spend more time closer to Idaho, where he grew up, and everything fit together.
Yeah.
It made sense.
Yeah, I just think, too, just mentally, just...
So, you know, too, he spends a lot of time in Florida also.
Yeah.
Like, we did a lot of testing down there with him. Still does a lot of on-bike training with Michael Byrne, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
he's just using both sides of the country.
Yeah, and I think it's paid off, right? He looks
so
good.
Far.
So far, yeah, we're one race
only
in.
Only one race in, but it's pointing to paying off.
Bike changes, anything much? I mean, obviously you guys are always testing, but when you look at his platform from before?
We learned, like last year there was a new platform for us, right? We learned a lot going into MX races with him and Joe that all carried through to Supercross in the off season. Some chassis mods, some suspension setting directions.
Yep.
So it's just been an evolution all along, right?
Is that something that comes from HRC at some point, or is that something you guys sort of almost stumble onto while you're outdoor testing?
We all work together. Yeah. We have a lot of ideas that we run past the HRC guys, our KMO engineers.
Yep.
Sometimes they think it's crazy. Sometimes we got to do it to prove it. Mm-hmm. Other times they're like, try it and give us the feedback.
Right.
You know?
Your role as a crew chief, and again, you're more of a chassis guy from your background, right?
Yeah,
that's how you learn.
Exactly.
So how are you enjoying, you know, diving into the whole bike now and working with everybody? Like Hutch is a guy you work with on the mapping side and all that. How are you enjoying that part of it?
Actually, I like it a lot.
Yeah.
when I was, so I was 450 crew chief for a couple of years with Sexton and Kenny. When the Lawrences moved up, the program with Hutch on the 250 was working so good. We just kept that that group together, right? So I went not back to, but just back to doing, focusing on chassis suspension stuff. Which you can get a little stale.
Yeah.
So
I don't think I knew you were 450 crew chief, or I forgot that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with Chase and
23,
Kenny. Chase and Kenny, that had to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And we won a Supercross title. Yeah. So that was good. You know, first time in 20 years.
Right.
So, getting half to look at the whole motorcycle now, it's stimulated my brain again to start thinking and and really, it's a lot of fun.
Right.
And the young kids that I get to work with, riders and mechanics and team, and they're fun, so it's good.
So take us through a typical session. You come in, Chance gets off the bike or Joe gets off the bike, whatever. They tell you what they think. Are you, and then you go to Hutch and probably, hey, let's look at the data from that session.
Yeah, I'll pull up the data.
Yeah.
I'll get Hutch to help me look at the data because he's a lot more experienced than I am. But the rest of the bike, like, rider comes in. It's me, the mechanic, and the suspension guy.
Yeah.
And we just have a small group of people. We talk about what's good, what's bad, if we want to change something.
What are the percents that you leave the bike alone, that you don't touch a thing?
I think it all depends how close you are coming into it.
No, I know, but I'm saying, out of 100 times, how many times
are you... Last weekend?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay.
We tried a fork rebound, a couple clicks, Q2.
Yep.
Went back to our base, never touched it the rest of the night.
After the, you went back afterwards, didn't?
We went stopped in the middle of and went back to our normal base and never touched it again.
Never touched it again. Yeah. Okay. Because I know, like, you know, the quest to make the bike perfect is always there for all of you guys, right? So that's always it.
And obviously, in my opinion, a 250 is a lot easier to get in a window of being good than a 450. Everything chassis-wise is so sensitive.
You took my next question away from me. So.
Okay.
The 250 motor is very important, but it kind of, like, you do all that on the dyno and the testing, and, like, here's our best package, right? Like, you're not making massive changes to a motor on race day 250-wise.
Correct. I think 250, you're trying to get max out of it that you can.
Yeah. Within and parameters that
Reliability.
Right.
Our Honda engine 250 is very torquey compared to a lot of others, which makes it easy to ride on Supercross track.
Yeah.
But it's a good motor right now. And suspension chassis, you got to be good, but 450, that's so much more important.
But a 450, when a rider, and this is sort of just my own little theory I've come up with, when a rider is not feeling well, and this maybe doesn't apply to Roxen, but when a rider's not feeling well, he's not riding it in the right range, he's riding it higher, now you got weird chassis stuff going on, right?
Yeah.
So now that...
And the
you
engine
balance
character
all that.
Affects
yes,
the chassis
affects the
lot.
Chassis, whereas 250's not so much.
Yeah, probably not as much.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you notice that now? You're like, hey, I'm not getting as many chassis sort of weirdness.
Yeah, for sure.
Because the riders are
for sure. Yeah, it's not it's not near as sensitive on a 250.
Right.
Chassis setting.
Right.
So, yeah, it's easier to sit back and go, oh, yeah, our 250 is good right now. But it's a lot easier to do.
Yeah. Okay. So I was I was going to get to that. So 450s are so...
Yeah.
There's so much torque, so much horsepower that things get twisted and worked in ways.
Yeah, everything just is... Yeah. Is under load so much more.
And then when the rider's not riding like he wants to, you know, the bike's not working like he wants to, now you're like, hey, like,
shift the thing.
The thing and we can talk, right?
Yeah.
All right. Joe Shimoda, what a breakout year. Do we think he's going to do any Supercross? Do we know? Lars kind of said he might.
On our side, we're planning, we're going to be ready for him to do Supercross.
Yep. Okay.
Bike wise, whatever.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's able to do some. I know his rehab's going fantastic. So, we'll see.
Lars talked about this a little bit on the Pulp Show, so this might be a little bit
he's
of
a regular guest on the Pulp Show. Yeah,
he doesn't do a lot of interviews. So
No. So
we try to talk
to him. He's exclusive with you, I think.
He thought that Joe's progression with you guys, one, better command of English, more confident of himself. Two, he thought, you know, he said that maybe his settings were so far off of what Hymas and the Lawrences used that you guys were trying to push him more towards what you knew the bike worked with and won. And in a sense, I got a sense from Lars that it was a little bit of capitulation from you guys. I think I said that right.
Whatever.
Okay. Yeah. About just, okay, let's let Joe go down the road. Do you agree with that?
Not 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, he likes a lot different motorcycle than Jet or Hunter, for sure. He's not that much different than Hymus, honestly.
Okay.
Our first year with Joe, yeah, we weren't communicating well. I don't know exactly why. Yep. We just weren't understanding him. Maybe he wasn't explaining it good, whatever. But going into 2025, even before Supercross, we started figuring him out. And I started trying some things geometry-wise, chassis-wise, way different than anyone else liked.
Okay.
And some light bulbs went off.
Was it things that you had tried and they said no good, or was this new ideas?
Mixture of bringing back some real old ideas.
Okay.
Like looking at some geometry numbers, looking at some like, hey, maybe we need to try this direction because what we're doing, he's not liking.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'll back up a little bit.
Yeah.
Went to Tampa Supercross with Chance.
Mm-hmm.
Only had like 3 days on the bike.
Right.
Was struggling to turn. Going into the heat race, we said, hey, let's try some geometry stuff in a completely different direction than we've been going.
Mm-hmm.
Not even raced it. Going in the lineup for heat race.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, yeah, now I can turn.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He didn't end up staying with it. Mm-hmm. But later I talked to Joe about it. I'm like, hey, I want to try this with you. Instantly, yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Okay.
And we've been that direction ever since.
Was that an old, old setting?
Well, just looking at some numbers that the bikes have evolved and changed.
Yep.
Like, I want to bring back some 2008 stuff. You know?
Because, I mean, I don't know if he was going to re-sign here, you know.
Yeah, maybe not.
Because things weren't going well, and the bike wasn't great, and, you know. But I do think part of it, for sure, he does seem like a more confident guy in his English, more outgoing, and he is emerging a little bit.
I think our relationship with him is much better now than it was a year ago.
Yeah.
I think we stumbled on some things that he really liked, which, and maybe I can't put words in his mouth, but I think he trusted us more after that.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Right.
And then we just started. And then going all through outdoor or motocross last year was good. Hutch helped us a lot with some start maps, which improved huge. Then going into SMX, we kind of turned some things around too, where every team going into SMX, you don't have any testing hardly. And we went into it like, all right, we have two practice sessions Friday, two qualifying on Saturday, and go race. We made some big changes every single session the first 2 weekends.
Okay.
And it was just, Joe, tell us what you're feeling.
Yep.
All right, trust us. We're going to make a big change.
Yep.
Let us know how it goes.
Okay.
And we made progress every time on the track.
Yep.
And that was a huge turnaround for him, I think.
And then, like you said, he starts going, okay, these guys are good.
Exactly.
These guys know what they're doing.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. We start trusting his feedback, and he starts trusting us that we can actually fix it.
Right. FXR Racing, by the way, one-on-one, code PulpMX30 to save, firepowerparts.com, Club MX using the firepower batteries. And chains, a lot of privateers using the chains, loading ramps, all that. Firepowerparts.com here with Shane Drew.
Hey, I want to make a comment.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm impressed. You just rattled that off without looking at any notes or anything. You're good.
No. Yeah, imagine that. Yeah. It's like you trying to change a shock, valving a shock. The role of a crew chief is somewhat new. I think Cowie started it, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. And now we're kind of rolling into that with a lot of teams now. I mean, it's not a four-stroke thing because, you know, you were in the four-stroke era. We were just a mechanic and a motor guy and an engine guy and whatever. Or motor guy, suspension guy, and whatever. How is the role of a crew chief? Like, you being one, is it a game changer? Is it better? Are there anything... I don't imagine there's anything worse about it.
No,
it frees Lars up, you know.
Lars is team manager. He doesn't need to be involved in any of our...
Yeah.
Technical stuff anymore.
Right. But they used to be. The managers used to be. Yeah.
Yeah, but then you got a lot of managers that think they know what they're doing and they don't anyway. So,
I think I might have had one of those.
Yeah. Back in the day, at least with Honda, we had an engine guy and I was a chassis guy.
Yeah.
And we kind of dealt with all the riders.
Yeah.
When we brought on the 250 program in 21, I think it was.
Yeah, whatever.
It's a lot of work. You can't be on the track for every session. The guys are out there different times. They're back at the pits different times.
Yep.
And that's when we divided up. We need a 450 group and a 250 group.
Mm-hmm.
But not in the sense that we're separate. Me and Hutch talk every day about everything.
Yep.
We go over stuff. He helps me a lot with...
Do we have disagreements ever with you?
Oh, yeah.
And
for
Hutch?
Sure.
Yeah?
For
and
sure,
how
for
do you
sure.
decide that?
I have seniority.
Okay.
No, that's a joke.
Flip a coin?
No, like say I...
Yeah.
And even though I'm not... directly involved in the 450 program now.
Yeah.
On the chassis suspension side, I'm still involved as much as I can be, and I've listened, I read all his notes, I give my opinion everywhere I can.
Okay.
I went to 2 days of testing with Hunter this week, just with Hunter.
Oh, okay.
You
know? All right. So you just to help out. I didn't think that would had anything to do
with
you anymore.
And then I couldn't do the 250 side without Hutch.
Right.
On his get knowledge and you know electronics.
Right.
So we work well together. Sometimes he's mad at me.
Yeah.
He calls me old, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, you are.
Yeah.
Okay. So the role is. Like, to me, and I know I'm not going to say the team, but there's a team right now that out there in the pits that I know. There's a crew chief, and there's a manager, and they're not getting along, and the riders and people are getting different answers from different people, and then there's another person involved. Well, if I said who it was, it would give it away. But what I'm saying is, I think it's good, but you really do have to have like a united front. And like Lars has to stay out of it.
I think however a team lays it out, if the people don't work well together, it's not going to work no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
So my vision of a crew chief is, for example, I don't have a lot of motor experience,
mm-hmm.
but I don't need to know everything. I don't need to know everything about everything.
Yeah.
But I need to get all the people that do know those things working in the same direction.
Yeah.
So I think that's the main thing.
Right.
I talked to the... Hutch Electronics, the motor builders, the suspension guy. I do a lot of chassis stuff, the mechanics.
Yeah.
As long as we're just rowing in the same direction,
that's
all the crew chief has to do.
Yep.
And then, ultimately, I make the final decision on whatever we're doing.
Okay.
Hutch makes the final decision on 450, whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
Right? If Hutch comes up with a small tweak on a map, that's a minor little thing, I'm like, if I don't want to put it in right now because we don't have time, we don't put it in.
Right.
If the suspension guy wants to make a change, if I agree with it, great. I'll either overrule and say no, but most of the time it's like, no, run with it.
It's good. But what if the suspension guy, and I'm not saying this is the case here, but the suspension guy can pull the rider aside and be like, hey, man.
We don't do that.
Yeah. So you're very, there is.
We're on the same page.
Riders and parents know there's a chain of command
yes,
and everybody,
exactly.
Okay, yeah.
And maybe we're fortunate. Like, I have two good riders to work with.
Yeah.
And Chance's dad is awesome.
Yeah.
And, Joe's family's awesome. So.
Right. Okay.
At least right now with the group of people, we don't have any conflict.
Yeah, I get a sense there's a team out there, a really good team, and there's people that don't like each other, and there's people that are trying to build, and, there's different messages going around, right?
Honestly, our whole team, as our results show, right, the last bunch of years, we all get along good. Are we all exactly the same? No.
Yeah.
But no one's stabbing each other in the back.
Yeah.
And you see that all the time.
Yeah.
Such and such a mechanic really wants to work for the different rider next year, so he's doing everything he can to make that mechanic look like a piece of shit, because I want his job, right?
Or they want to show the riders that they're the smart ones, and
exactly.
Like, I'm your guy.
Exactly, I'm smarter than everybody else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep. I've seen that over the years, where you're like...
We've done a good job on having a group of guys that we don't do that.
Right. It is a lot, though. In your mechanicking day, and of course you worked for LaRocco and Tortelli and Kyle Lewis, and I'm probably missing some names in there. Would a crew chief have helped back in your day? I was going to say our day, but I'm younger than you. But our day? Your day?
Yeah, like back, example, when I started at Honda, Cliff White was the... We call him technical director.
Yeah.
If you oversaw everything technical side. But back to...
Who was the manager then? Kehoe?
Well, first it was Wes McCoy.
Oh, okay.
Then Kehoe.
Okay, but you still had Kehoe and Cliff, and they were...
Correct.
Okay, yeah.
An example, Eric Kehoe, he didn't do anything technical.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't his role.
Mm-hmm.
But back to, I think it's more important if you're riding two different classes. One guy can't be on top of all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I mean, I guess in theory, too, the four strokes are so much more complicated than a two-stroke days.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Yes and no.
Right.
But then again, the mechanic doesn't have to build them.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
You got good engine guys, you got good electronic guys, data guy, whatever, and mechanic builds a bike.
Droopy, do you remember when we were mechanics, we did tires and main bearings?
I like to pull that all the time.
And...
Oh, I did change my own tire.
I even changed suspension oil.
I might have been one of the last mechanics that actually did all the suspension settings and service during the week.
You did settings for
when I was at Nolene.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not,
true, right.
Not,
for Kyle,
not
right.
Factory
yeah,
Honda,
but yeah. Right. You were actually doing that. Well, I told this story before, but I would go riding with you. I'll never forget it. I've told it a bunch, but you probably know what's coming. At Seddon's.
Seddon's Corner.
Seddon's Corner. We're riding together.
Yep.
We do a moto.
I beat you at the moto, probably.
I'm sure. You're really going to stand. And I look over. You got your shirt off. pants like undone, and you are revalving your shock between motos. Sweat is pouring off of you.
No one else was there to do it.
But you're like in the middle of your motor. You're like, you know what might work better? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that in the back of my box van.
Yeah. It was probably 50-50 if it worked better or not.
Right, right.
But, yeah, that's
but,
you
know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That is something that I, like, again, you were a national caliber rider, and it just didn't happen. People, even if you had been really good at suspension, you might have waited till the end of the day or whatever, but you're like, no, I'm going to try for the next moto.
That's why we're here.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a really crazy story. You've been so into it, like, for that long, right? So.
And that's my knock here with Lars and Hutch and stuff. They're like, oh, Drewski, you give him a chance. He's going to test every single day of the week till it's dark and he'll never stop. I'm like, yeah, I kind of am bad at that.
Yeah, so is that something you have to watch for and be like,
yeah, for sure. For
I always felt, and I've said this before,
I can go crazy and try with too many things.
We would show up at Corona and start riding at 9, and by 2 p.m., the track is gone. We've lost the riders. And we're still testing, and we're doing a clamps, and I'm just like, what are we doing? Like, the riders are done. They don't care, and we're losing the track.
It's a balance, yeah.
Okay,
it's tough.
Yeah.
Like, one of the reasons why I think the Lawrences have been so successful, because they will not give up on testing until their bike's right. And it doesn't matter if it's every single day till dark, one day, 6 days in a row, whatever. They'll put in the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, sometimes it's not productive, and it's a balance, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one thing why it's nice about testing back east. Track stays good a lot longer.
Yeah. So, but do you tell yourself sometimes, hey, what's the saying? Good is the enemy of great, right? Like, are you sometimes telling yourself that? Like,
for sure. And some, I always joke that my list of things I'd like to test, no matter how many items you take off the top that you get done, you add more items to the bottom, and the list never ends.
Right. Suspension components, I have noticed in the last few years from people I talk to, it seems like the OEMs from the first generation of aluminum, they went too stiff. They're all about trying to get them flexier, right? KTM's trying to bring their steel down a little bit. They went almost too stiff also. And I think component size has reached its peak. Shock shafts, forks, everything else. Do you agree with that? What's the next change that you see coming for suspension components?
I'd agree. What I've learned the last couple of years is it's tough to even just lump aluminum frames in together.
Okay, yeah.
They vary so much suspension requirements.
You mean OEM to OEM or year to year?
Even like for us.
Yeah.
2020 to 2021.
Okay.
It was such a radical different frame that so many of the rigidity parts that did work or didn't work didn't carry over.
Oh, wow, okay. So,
you know, and we've been creeping back that other direction ever since, you know, and as everyone knows from pictures, we've increased the rigidity. We've stiffened the rigidity of our frames last year.
Yep.
We're retrying a bunch of components that didn't work before.
Yeah, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So how much is it a pain in the ass when Honda decides to change the OEM bike? I mean, it kind of throws you guys... It's not.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but
for
it's,
sure.
It's so really... So
the good thing is, this generation and the next one coming, whatever year it happens to be, Trey's been involved hugely in it.
Yeah.
So that helps us. I've been involved a little bit in it. I've managed to go to a bunch of testing in Japan with the next one.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we've seen the next bike. It's out there, yeah.
I think it'll help when we have to delve into it and start...
Yep.
The little bit of knowledge we have of it, what's coming, should help.
So component size, like 48, 49s, and 18 mil shafts, and that's where we're at? That's it?
Yeah.
Like no one's doing anything weirder?
Well, honestly, a year ago, I was asking Showa for 51 mil forks again.
Oh, okay.
Just, hey, I'd love to try a set of 51s with all this other stuff we got going on.
I mean, 51s is RC days? No.
Even Davey Millsap.
Millsap days? Okay, yeah.
We busted them out in 2010, I think, for Davey. Then it was a game changer at the end of his Honda career.
Okay. So,
but yeah, so it'll probably never happen, but...
Yeah.
And they have all the good reasons why it's not the good way to go, but it'd be still, man, I wish I had a set of 51s to try.
Air forks, are we done with those? They're still around. KYB's holding on to them. Like...
In my opinion, I don't want to see them again.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I mean, you know, the way I get it from talking to production people is really a cost thing, you know, is why they kind of started, right?
I'm confident the manufacturers were like, we want to make our bikes lighter and lower the cost.
Yep.
What are you going to do for us?
Yeah.
And they probably went to every vendor.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the suspension guy, well, we'll do airports.
Right, right. All right. I think that's about all I got. Yeah, so the testing never stops. Which
never stops,
right?
But that's what makes it fun.
Yep. And again, anybody doesn't really like me, you can blame Shane Drew. I'm here because of you. You told me in 96 no one's going to hire you from the couch, and you took me around to the races.
Yeah. Yeah, you got down to one race, then I...
You took
me
around.
I've been living that nightmare ever since.
Yeah. It's your fault.
Also, it's my fault you're here, and it's also my fault Jeremy left Honda the first time.
Yes, also your fault. Yes, because you went with two sessions?
I think 2 weeks. Yeah,
two weeks with him, and then he decided to leave. So, good job.
But he came back, so...
Are you ever leaving Honda? Is this it?
No, I'm pretty happy here.
Because you went to Yamaha for a bit, right? Went to Chad's team for a bit.
When I left Honda at the end of 14.
Right.
When I was 17 years, I was here.
Yep.
Went to 2-2 Motorsports for a year.
And it really was kind of a personality clash, right?
Yeah, that's all it was. Went to factory Yamaha for 4 years.
Yep.
It was all good learning.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of opened my eyes to go to a different place, came back. But Honda's always been home.
Right.
I'll retire here.
I feel like you're a Honda guy.
Yeah.
And when you were not at Honda, I still looked at you like, he's a Honda guy. So.
Yeah. But even my years at Yamaha, I don't regret it. I enjoyed it. Learned a lot. Yeah.
Like you said, also, it's great to learn, right?
Just different ways of looking at things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Firepower Parts, Maxxis Tires, FXR Racing, one-on-one podcast, Pulp MX 30 is the code to save it. Those guys, Shane Drew, thanks, buddy. Thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
And good luck with the rest of the year, man.
Yeah, thanks.